chapter 12 of Further Aspects of Transcendental Service. Associating with advanced devotees. The importance of discussing Srimad Bhagavatam in the Society of Pure Devotees was explained by Shaunaka Muni during the meeting at Naimisharanya in the presence of Suta Goswami. Suta Goswami confirmed that if someone is fortunate enough to associate with a pure devotee of the Lord, even for a moment, that particular moment is so valuable that even those pious activities which can promote one to the heavenly planets or give liberation from material miseries cannot compare to it. In other words, those who are attached to Srimad Bhagavatam do not care for any kind of benefit derived from elevation to the higher planetary kingdoms, or for the liberation which is conceived of by the impersonalists. As such, the association of pure devotees is so transcendentally valuable that no kind of material happiness can compare to it. In the Hari Bhakti Shudodaya, there is a conversation between Prahlad Maharaj and his father. His father, Hiranyakashipu, in which Hiranyakashipu addresses Prahlad in this way. My dear son, association is very important. It acts just like a crystal stone, which will reflect anything which is put before it. Similarly, if we associate with the flower-like devotees of the Lord, and if our hearts are crystal clear, then certainly the same action will be there. Another example given in this connection is that if a man is potent and if a woman is not diseased, then by their conjugation there will be conception. In the same way, if the recipient of spiritual knowledge and the deliverer of spiritual knowledge are sincere and bona fide, there will be good results.
Just close the screen. Thank you.
So then the third of these major points, these five major points, associating with the advanced devotees. So the devotee is not interested in the elevation to the heavenly planets, is not interested in, mentions here, liberation is conceived of by the impersonalists, which is a materially conceived idea of spiritual platform that they conceive of merging in the Brahman, which is not an idea that comes from the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada mentions this in the Bhagavatam, that the concept of Paramatma realization and impersonal realization that we find in the material world, these come from the material world. They are not coming from the spiritual realm. No one in the spiritual realm is thinking of merging in the Brahman, and no one is thinking of realizing Paramatma, because Paramatma is standing in front of them. So these concepts come from the material world, and they are attractive to those in the material world. But those who are very serious about going beyond this, coming to the Bhagavan platform, then their association is very special. And even a moment's association is more valuable than having the pious activities to go to the heavenly planets or to be able to merge in Brahman. So it's much greater. They have no interest in these things, so one can catch that move. One can get that blessing. So that's a very special thing, to catch the move, to understand the idea, to have the realization in that way, then that becomes very special. And here it mentions that one reflects. Hiranyakashipu is then quoted. My dear son, association is very important. It acts just like a crystal stone which will reflect anything which is put before it. So then with the heart, if the heart is clean, then one will actually be able to reflect the qualities that are coming from the advanced devotees. We see this in that song, Sri Rupa Manjari Pada, by Narottam Das Thakur, that he was saying that these qualities, these great wonderful qualities of Rupa Goswami, then will shine into his heart, and then those will be reflected back. So by having a very pure heart, then one takes on those qualities. This is also one of the aspects of humility, is one is not thinking that these, if one does have any good qualities, it is not our own qualities. It's by the grace of the devotee, by the grace of the spiritual master, by the Lord's grace, by the grace of the devotees. Then what one is seeing is a reflection of their qualities. Right? By seeing the reflection of the spiritual master's qualities, of the devotee's qualities, then that is what we see in that person. So if they take the association very seriously, then that is what they're going to have. They're going to reflect that. If they don't take it seriously, of course, then that won't be seen. Something else will be seen. So then the devotee, he himself feels these are not one's own qualities. These are the qualities of others. Yeah. And so it's mentioned here, if the one who's giving spiritual knowledge, one who's receiving spiritual knowledge, if they're both sincere and bona fide, then there will be good results. So this point of sincerity and being bona fide is there for both. It can't just be one and not the other. Both have to be. Bona fide is they're coming in the line, they are in the line of disciplic succession, they approach this line of disciplic succession, and they're sincere in that they want to please Guru Krishna and the Vaishnavas. Then that will give result. But otherwise, if that idea is not there, it won't give result. This is very important, because we see it's not just the preachers or the advanced devotees, but also those who want to learn have to be sincere. And they have to take that mood of the Sampradaya and try to obtain to those particular position. Then it becomes very, very nice. So we've heard recitation of Bhagavatam amongst devotees, and then this then will create, by associating with those who are attached to Bhagavatam and not to the material world, then this will give the same thing in our heart. Right? So we must hear the Bhagavatam, but we also must do that in association of devotees. So that's mentioned here. Is there any questions on this? Yes.
A moment's association, is that literally a moment's association, or are we to understand that it's like, comparatively speaking, compared with the duration of material existence of cause and cause's lifetime, if we dedicate, like Prabhupada said, if you simply dedicate this one lifetime to me, you are not a loser, you will gain so much. So, In that sense, it's like a moment compared to the actual duration. Yeah. I mean, so what sense does it mean, the moment?
It means both. It means from a moment up to this time. Because in our time, a moment is very short. And then in the actual time, like you mentioned, then one lifetime is very short. But we perceive it as quite long. But even just a short association, but that association, you know, generally, it'll start anyway. If we are sincere and we're approaching in the, you know, right mood, then even a moment's association, we get the blessings or the attention or the well-wishing of the advanced devotee, then we're blessed. I don't know if I told the story. I forget who told me. I think Radhanath Maharaj told me. I think they were, I forget where they were. But they were in the airport, and the devotees were taking going with Prabhupada. I think they just received Prabhupada. And they were walking along, and as they were walking, then there was one man, you know, sitting in one of the, you know, chairs someplace, and he was already, you know, he had been working on the bottle of whiskey or something for some time before the devotees came by. And he was in a very, you know, happy mood. So then when he saw Prabhupada and the devotees and the kirtan and the festival, then he made a, what do you call it? said, you know, who do you make it? A toast to the devotees, you know, in Prabhupada. He saw Prabhupada and held up the bottle, you know, and, you know, it's like something in, you know, glorification of them, and then was started drinking from the bottle. While the bottle was up, Prabhupada came by, and he took his cane and he just kind of like tapped the bottom of the bottle, you know, like that. And as he walked by, you know, because the manner is very nice, moved, it's like, you know, devotees are here and that, and he's drinking, you know, it's all, it's happening, it's very wonderful. Prabhupada walked by and he says, his spiritual life has begun. You know? So that was just a moment. That's all. He interacted for a moment, just long enough to recognize the devotees. And, you know, he was very, very happily, he, you know, honored a drink on their behalf. So then that started his spiritual life, because it was like he had dedicated it to the advanced devotee, the pure devotee. So then in that way, a moment it starts. Of course, one has to follow that up, and then by association with the instruction, then one can make that association very long. But this would specifically mean just in the physical association, just for a moment, like that. But the serving, the instruction, that can go on for the whole lifetime. So in that way, then that is what does the serious work. But even just the beginning, it'll start. Because one wants to be started on the bona fide path. Otherwise, there's so many pseudo-spiritualists and you know, karmis, jnanis, yogis, who have so many ideas, and we've been moving around in these paths for so long. So to be bumped from those paths into the actual bona fide devotional path, that's the greatest benediction. So that can be done in even just a moment's association. You know? Like that. And then if one can remember that and take advantage of it, then one can get more and more benefit, you know, up to the point of developing pure love for Krishna. But at least the moment will start, you know, if not even take one further. You know, like you see so many stories of devotees also, just, you know, they're kind of coming in contact, and then when they see Prabhupada for the first time or something, it's just a moment. They just see, you know, and offer obeisances, and evening's gone by. And that really seriously, you know, starts something for them, or, you know, deepens their commitment, or very, you know, it has a very strong effect, even though it's just a moment. Okay. Is that making sense?
Yeah.
Anything else in this? Then the next point Srila Rupa Goswami makes is chanting the holy name of the Lord. The importance of chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, is very strongly stressed in the second canto, first chapter, verse 11 of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the following way. Sukadeva Goswami tells Maharaj Parikshit, "My dear King, if one is spontaneously attached to the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, it is to be understood that he has attained the highest perfectional stage. It is specifically mentioned that the karmis who are aspiring after the fruitive results of their activities, the salvationists who are aspiring to become one with the Supreme Person, and the yogis who are aspiring after mystic perfections can achieve the results of all perfectional stages simply by chanting the Maha Mantra." Shukadev uses the words nirnitam, which means it has already been decided. He was a liberated soul and therefore could not accept anything which was not conclusive. So Shukadev Goswami especially stresses that it has already been concluded, the one who has come to the stage of chanting the Hare Krishna mantra with determination and steadiness must be considered to have already passed the trials of fruitive activities, mental speculation, and mystic yoga. The same thing is confirmed in the Adi Purana, by Krishna. While addressing Arjuna, he says, "Anyone who is engaged in chanting my transcendental name must be considered to be always associating with me. And I may tell you frankly that for such a devotee, I become easily purchased." In the Padma Purana also it is stated, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra is present only on the lips of a person who has many births worshipped Vasudeva. It is further said in the Padma Purana, there is no difference between the holy name of the Lord and the Lord Himself. As such, the holy name is as perfect as the Lord Himself in fullness, purity, and eternity. The holy name is not a material sound vibration, nor has it any material contamination. The holy name cannot therefore be chanted offenselessly by one who has failed to purify his senses. In other words, materialistic senses cannot properly chant the holy names of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. But by adopting this chanting process, one is given a chance to actually purify himself so that he may very soon chant offenselessly. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has recommended that everyone chant the Hare Krishna Mantra just to cleanse the dust from the heart. If the dust of the heart is cleansed away, then one can actually understand the importance of the holy name. For persons who are not inclined to clean the dust from their hearts and who want to keep things as they are, it is not possible to derive the transcendental result of chanting the Hare Krishna Mantra. One should therefore be encouraged to develop his service attitude towards the Lord, because this will help him to chant without any offense. And so, under the guidance of a spiritual master, the disciple is trained to render service and at the same time chant the Hare Krishna Mantra. As soon as one develops his spontaneous service attitude, he can immediately understand the transcendental nature of the holy names of the Maha Mantra. So, the element of chanting offenselessly is very important. If with offenseless chanting, then we find that then we are able to understand that Krishna and his name are non-different. When that is understood, then the transcendental position of the holy name is appreciated. And the devotee himself then attains that same transcendental platform. So if one doesn't control the senses, then one can't get to that offenseless stage. Attachment to the senses or the results of those attachments by bothering other devotees, not having the proper faith in the spiritual master, or wanting to approach other demigods because of various benefits that they give, or attachment to our intelligence, you know, and speculating on the glories of the name, or, you know, making up our own ideas, or not having faith, then these things will create disturbances that we will not be able to chant purely. So when the senses are purified, when the heart has become cleansed by the devotional process, then we see that the chanting goes very, very nicely. So by the process of chanting, that is service, and then Prabhupada recommends here to develop our service attitude towards the Lord. So it's not that we understand that only by this process of chanting and serving chanting the Lord's holy name, serving the Lord, associating with the devotees, hearing the Bhagavatam, then living in the holy dham, these things will create that good fortune by which the heart can be cleansed. And we will be able to then understand and realize the Lord. But we can't just say that we are not worried about these things. Will just happen. These will happen automatically as long as we are trying to develop the service attitude and we want to chant the name purely. And we understand that the name and the Lord are non-different. Otherwise, we will benefit and we will be elevated. But if we want to quickly be elevated to this transcendental platform, we need to be conscious of this cleansing process. Okay? Because we see it's a matter of understanding. When the dirt is cleansed away, we understand the importance of the holy name. So therefore, we must be inclined to clean that dust. Right? We can't just let it sit there. But we have to recognize it's there and try to remove it by the chanting and serving process. Krishna will do he will remove it, but we have to be inclined towards it. And when we're inclined, then we see that the process works very nicely. Then when it is completely cleansed away, then we will fully understand the glories of the holy name. That will be then the benefit. Krishna says here, anyone who is chanting must be considered to be always associating with me. And I may tell you frankly that for such a devotee, I become easily purchased. So by anyone who's chanting the holy name is associating with the Lord. So associating with the Lord is always beneficial. But now the point is that when we actually understand this, the benefits are even greater. Now we may understand that we're with the Lord. I mean, we may be with the Lord by the chanting. But when we understand this because the heart is clean, then the benefits are then much greater. Right? So the more the heart is cleansed, the more we understand, then the greater the benefit. So it's like a parabolic curve. It's not just a straight line. The more one progresses, the more quickly one advances. Okay, so that's very, very special. Here again is the term is mentioned, determination and steadiness. There's determination and steadiness, means we fixed our mind on serving the holy name. Steadiness will come when that these material desires are given up, the gross and the subtle. Steadiness will begin. Actually, steadiness begins, then we see that then the finer points of our devotional life in the chanting process, then we become aware of. In the beginning, we're trying to overcome our gross desires. But once we become steady in chanting, then the subtle desires those have to be conquered. So if that is there, the determination that one wants to attain pure unalloyed devotional service, then fruitive activities, mental speculation, and mystic yogi, these things can be overcome. They've already passed these trials. But otherwise, if our determination is not great, then we will find some difficulty, some attraction to these. Or if we're not steady, there'll be some attraction to these. So one has to always be very careful about this. Any questions on this? Then the last is living in Mathura. In the Padma Purana, there's a statement about the importance of living at holy places like Mathura or Dwaraka. It is stated there, to travel to different places of pilgrimage means to attain emancipation from material bondage. This emancipation, however, is not the highest perfectional stage. After attaining this liberated stage, one has to become engaged in devotional service to the Lord. After attainment of the Brahma-Bhuta liberation stage, one can further advance to engagement in devotional service. So this attainment of transcendental loving devotional service to the Lord is the goal of life, and it can be achieved very easily for one who lives in Mathura Mandala, even for a few seconds. It is further said, who is that person who will not agree to worship the land of Mathura? Mathura can deliver all the desires and ambitions of the fruitive workers and of the salvationists. And of the salvationists who desire to become one with the Supreme Brahman. Certainly Mathura will deliver the desires of the devotees who simply aspire to be engaged in the devotional service of the Lord. In the Vedic literature it is also stated, how wonderful it is that simply by residing in Mathura, even for one day, one can achieve a transcendental loving attitude towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This land of Mathura must be more glorious than Vaikuntha Dham, the kingdom of God. So So by traveling to the holy places, one becomes purified. But then this platform, this may bring us to the platform of emancipation, or to the Brahma-Bhuta platform, liberation. But one must go beyond that, as mentioned here. One can further advance and come to the platform of prema. So then that is very easy for someone who lives in Mathura Mandala, an immense sister, even for a few seconds. Now living means when we can see is that the consciousness then very much has, if one appreciates that one is in the Dham, and one therefore lives in the Dham, then that comes very quickly, very easily. Otherwise, then we may, pass through. I think Narottam Das Thakur mentions, Narottam or Bhakti Vinod Thakur mentions, you cannot buy a ticket to Vrindavan. Right? Who? You know. That you can't buy a ticket. So maybe physically you go there, but going to Vrindavan is more. One has to appreciate that this is the Dham. So if one has that sincerity, then one is residing in the Dham. But if not, then one will be there. One is in so many places like that. And one will be then living. Explanation is there that covering the Dham is a very thin layer of external energy. Like in Mayapur here, it's called Prauda Maya. Like that, very thin layer of this Maya. So those who are materially interested or not interested in the Dham, they will see that only. They won't see beyond it. So even though they're in the Dham, they're not getting really the full benefits of being in the Dham. But for the devotees, they see beyond this, and they see the transcendental realm. They see that this is the spiritual realm. They're not seeing all the seemingly material inebrieties that are there. Those are there because being in the material world, these things are manifest for the Lord's desire to make for wonderful pastimes, that there's much variety in all these different things are there. Like the demons, they would come to Vrindavan. So they were material energy, they weren't spiritual. But all this made for nice pastimes. And for those who are not actually interested in the Dham, or interested in good proper association, they will be distracted by that. And then they will not actually disturb those who are Yoga Maya will take them away from the disturbance of those who are trying to sincerely live in the Dham. So it says here that Mathura Mandala can fulfill the desires of the materialists or those who are interested in salvation. But that's not a big deal. That's nothing special. Special comes when we get love of Krishna. So that is something special. So that is what is to be gained from being in Mathura Mandala. Not these other things. One can get them if one wants. Right? Krishna is trying to take charge of our life, direct our life, purify us. But if we're more interested in non-devotional things, then Krishna will give that to us. The Dham will give that to us. But then we lose. Like that story of that one old lady who would go to the forest and collect, dry sticks, firewood. And she made it into this bundle, made a very big bundle on this day. Then she somehow or another got it on her head. She was carrying it. Before she got to the city, she lost her balance. It fell off her head, fell on the ground. So she couldn't pick it up again. So she didn't know what to do. So she's crying and crying and calling out Krishna's name. And like this. So then it was so sincere, Krishna appeared. And he said, you called me, what can I do? So instead of... she was a devotee, but instead of saying, surrendering to Krishna and becoming his, pure devotee at that moment, then she asked him, "You, this bundle of sticks, it's too heavy for me, I'm too old, I can't get it on my head, can you please help me put it on my head?" Krishna, very nicely picked it up, put it on her head. As soon as it was on her head, he disappeared. Then she understood that she had made a mistake. She should have asked for pure devotional service instead of to have this bundle of sticks put back on her head. So Prabhupada then mentions that, you know, it's like the devotee has trouble in the material world, but then if he asks Krishna to put the trouble, you know, other trouble, more troubles on his head in the way of, you know, material facility and opulence and position, fame, and all these different things, then that's not the best prayer like that. So one is always looking for pure devotional service. Duties are performed. Those duties will give the results. And because the results are being done for Krishna, then we see that Holy Dham is fulfilling those. But that's not the main point of the devotee. But even if someone wants this, that's very prominent in their mind, they'll get it. But generally Krishna is working in such a way he gives, doesn't give as he pleases, whatever is good for our advancement in devotional life. But if we, you know, are very set that we should get this particular thing, we will get. You know? But it doesn't necessarily bring us any closer to Krishna. But Krishna is very clever. He gives these things, but in such a way that he also removes our attachment for it. So he's very clever. He doesn't let us get away very easily like that. So it's more quicker and smoother that we're mainly interested in pure devotional service, and then things may come or not as Krishna pleases. Or if we desire it, then these things will come, but they themselves may give a little bit of problem. You know, because of our attachment to it, that attachment still has to be removed. That it still has to be removed. So we may not find the satisfaction we thought, or it itself may give us even more distress. Like that. You know, just like the king, Chitraketu. He desired his son so much, so he was in anxiety. But he got that son, then he lost his son. He was in more anxiety. Like this. Then from that, then we see he surrendered to the Lord. He became the Lord's pure devotee. So that means before he was a devotee. But he had these desires. So it was arranged, he got them. But then the situation was even more painful. And then he surrendered. So the Dham can fulfill all desires. So then it's always best that we maintain the desire for pure devotional service. Some questions on this? Okay, then chapter 13, five potent forms of devotional service. Rupa Goswami has stated that five kinds of devotional activities, namely, residing in Mathura, worshipping the deity of the Lord, reciting Srimad Bhagavatam, serving a devotee, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, are so potent that a small attachment for any one of these five items can arouse devotional ecstasy even in a neophyte. Regarding worship of the form of the Lord, or deity, Rupa Goswami has written the following verse. My dear friend, if you still have any desire to enjoy the company of your friends within this material world, then don't look upon the form of Krishna, who is standing on the bank of Keshi Ghat, a bathing place in Vrindavan. He is known as Govinda, and his eyes are very enchanting. He is playing upon his flute, and on his head there is a peacock feather, and his whole body is illuminated by the moonlight in the sky. The purport of this verse is that if someone becomes attached to the Sri Murti, or deity of Krishna, by worshipping at home, then he will forget his relationships of so-called friendship, love, and society. Thus it is the duty of every householder to install deities of the Lord at home, and to begin the process of worship along with all his family members. This will save everyone from such unwanted activities as going to clubs, cinemas, and dancing parties, and smoking, drinking, etc. All such nonsense will be forgotten if one stresses the worship of the deities at home. Yes. So these five forms are very, very powerful. Just a little attachment to any of them gives so much result. That's why these, out of all the 64, these are especially emphasized. And then here it's like, if you want to, so then dealing with the worship of the deity, if one actually wants to maintain material relationships, then one should not take up worship of Krishna. Because if one gives one's self to worship of Krishna, then very quickly one will lose interest in all these various mundane situations. So if one does not live near a temple where one can take advantage of the activities going on in that temple, then it's recommended one has deities in one's own home and then does their worship there. So the deity, everything in the house revolves around the Lord. One's cooking is for the Lord, one's activities, one does morning programs, evening programs, has special festivals. All this goes on for the Lord. Then with the Lord becoming the center of our life, then we find that we lose our interest in all these other activities. One is quite busy. One does these things because one is bored, one has nothing to do. But if one is engaged in worshiping the Lord, one finds then one is not bored. One has something to do. One is happy serving the Lord. So this is the first item here. Rupa Goswami further writes, "My dear foolish friend, I think that you have already heard some of the auspicious Srimad Bhagavatam, which decries seeking the results of fruitive activities, economic development, and liberation. I think that now it is certain that gradually the verses of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, describing the pastimes of the Lord, will enter your ears and go into your heart. In the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, it is said that unless one has the ability to throw out, just like garbage, the fruit of results of ritualistic ceremonies, economic development, and becoming one with the Supreme, or salvation, one cannot understand Srimad Bhagavatam. The Bhagavatam deals exclusively with devotional service. Only one who studies Srimad Bhagavatam in the spirit of renunciation can understand the pastimes of the Lord, which are described in the 10th canto. In other words, one should not try to understand the topics of the 10th canto, such as the Ras Lila, love dance, unless he has spontaneous attraction for Srimad Bhagavatam. One must be situated in pure devotional service before he can relish Srimad Bhagavatam as it is. In the above two verses of Rupa Goswami, there are some metaphorical analogies that indirectly condemn the association of materialistic society, friendship, and love. People are generally attracted to society, friendship, and love, and they make elaborate arrangements and strong endeavors to develop these material contaminations. But to see the Srimurtis of Radha and Krishna is to forget such endeavors for material association. Rupa Goswami composed this verse in such a way that he was seemingly praising the material association of friendship and love, and was condemning the audience of Srimurti or Govinda. The metaphorical analogy is constructed in such a way that things which seem to be praised are condemned, and things which are condemned are praised. The actual import of this verse is that one must see the form of Govinda, if one at all wants to forget the nonsense of material friendship, love, and society." Srila Rupa Goswami has similarly described the transcendental nature of relishing topics which concern Krishna. A devotee once said, "It is very astonishing that since I have seen this personality of Godhead, who is washed by the tears of my eyes, there is shivering of my body, and he has made me a failure in executing my material duties. Since seeing him, I cannot remain silently at home. I wish to go out to him always." The purport of this statement is that as soon as one is fortunate enough to contact a pure devotee, one must be anxious immediately to hear about Krishna, to learn about Krishna, or in other words, to become fully Krishna conscious. Similarly, there is a statement about hearing and chanting the Maha Mantra. It is said that saints have been able to hear the vibrating strings of the Veena in the hands of Narada, who is always singing the glories of Lord Krishna. Now this same sound vibration has entered my ears, and I am always feeling the presence of the Supreme Personality. Gradually, I am becoming bereft of all attachment for material enjoyment. Again, Srila Rupa Goswami has described Mathura Mandala. I remember the Lord standing by the banks of the Yamuna River, so beautiful amid the Kadamba trees. There are many birds, where many birds are chirping in the gardens. And these impressions are always giving me transcendental realization of beauty and bliss. This feeling about Mathura Mandala and Vrindavan described by Rupa Goswami can actually be felt even by non-devotees. The places in the 84 square mile district of Mathura are so beautifully situated on the banks of the river Yamuna that anyone who goes there will never want to return to this material world. These statements by Rupa Goswami are factually realized descriptions of Mathura and Vrindavan. All these qualities prove that Mathura and Vrindavan are situated transcendentally. Otherwise, there would be no possibility of invoking our transcendental sentiments in these places. Such transcendental feelings are aroused immediately and without fail after one arrives in Mathura or Vrindavan. In these statements about devotional service, sometimes it may appear that the results have been overestimated. But actually, there is no overestimation. Some devotees, as revealed scriptures give evidence, have had immediate results by such association, although this is not possible for all. For example, the Kumaras immediately became devotees simply by smelling the incense in the temple. Bilva Mangala Thakur simply heard about Krishna and then immediately gave up his beautiful girlfriend and started out for Mathura and Vrindavan, where he became a perfect Vaishnava. So these statements are not overestimations, nor are they stories. They are actual facts, but are true for certain devotees and not necessarily apply for all. To all, excuse me. These descriptions, even if considered overestimations, must be taken as they are in order to divert our attention from the fleeting material beauty to the external, eternal beauty of Krishna consciousness. And for a person who is already in contact with Krishna consciousness, the described results are not unusual. Some scholars argue that simply by following the principles of varna and ashram, one can gradually rise to the perfections reached by practicing devotional service. But this argument is not accepted by the great authorities. Lord Chaitanya also condemned this idea while he was talking with Ramananda Rai about the gradual development of devotional service. He rejected the idea of the importance of Varnashram Dharma when it was put forward by Ramananda Rai. He said that this advancement of Varna and Ashram is merely external. There is a higher principle. In Bhagavad Gita also, the Lord says that one has to give up all other principles of elevation and take simply to the method of Krishna consciousness. That will help one in achieving the highest perfection of life. In the 11th canto, 20th chapter, verse 9 of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Lord Himself says, one should execute the prescribed duties of varna and ashram as long as he has not developed spontaneous attachment for hearing about my pastimes and activities. In other words, the prescribed form of varna and ashram are ritualistic ceremonies of religion intended for economic development, sense gratification, or salvation. All of these things are recommended for persons who have not developed Krishna consciousness. In fact, all such activities are recommended in the revealed scriptures only to bring one to the point of Krishna consciousness. But one who has already developed a spontaneous attachment for Krishna does not require to execute the duties prescribed in the scriptures. So we see here that in these five, as they're described, it always comes back to this theme of the spontaneous attraction, that there's some natural attraction, that there's some affection for doing these five activities. And that brings the perfection in one's life. So we see that these five can be taken on the platform of Vaidhi. But those aspects are described more in the other 59 activities. But here, then it is described, we see, very much in relationship to spontaneous devotional service. And the point is made that is that we should not take these as over exaggerations. These are actual facts. These happened. They're real historical stories. And they've been chosen to establish the points of the glories of devotional service. So if we have that spontaneous attraction, we have that surrender, that affection, these things work very, very powerfully. And if not, then we follow the rules and regulations of devotional service, and we can become elevated to this platform of spontaneous devotional service. But without performing, unless that spontaneous devotional service is there, the rules and regulations need to be followed. That's what Krishna himself is saying. Yeah, this is Lord Krishna is talking to Uddhava. One should execute the prescribed duties of varna and ashram as long as he has not developed spontaneous attachment for hearing about my pastimes and activities. So it says, in other words, the prescribed forms of varna and ashram are ritualistic ceremonies of religion intended for economic development, sense gratification, or salvation. So as long as that attachment is there for these aspects, you know, we have some attachments to the modes of passion and ignorance and to material goodness, then varnashram must be performed. And by doing it in devotional service, then one will be elevated, and then to the platform of spontaneous devotional service, from which then one can then develop pure love for Krishna. So varnashram on its own, without devotional service, then is not going to bring one to devotional service. It must be practiced as a branch of devotional service. That is the ceremonial aspects, the religious aspects of our devotional life, which then takes care of the aspects of material desire we have. If material desire is there, there must be a way to fulfill that. So varnashram does that, religion does that. Because from religion comes economic development, sense gratification, and then liberation. So these things they come automatically. But if one performs devotional service and follows the duties of devotional service, then all these things are coming. So varnashram then is a natural part of that. It is the culture of Krishna consciousness, that So here we see also is that spontaneous does not require to execute the duties prescribed in the scriptures. So we understand this is at the platform of bhava, when one comes to the Brahma Bhuta platform and goes on into devotional ecstasy and prema. So Prabhupada is emphasizing the point of spontaneous devotional service being at that platform. Because otherwise, then it may begin in the lower stages in the Madhyama platform, but it attains its like perfection in this Uttama platform. It attains its perfection there. So it's this full manifestation. Any questions on this? So we clear on these points. They're very important points. I mean, because of the conclusions of Bhagavatam, these points have all become very simple and very easy. Right? It means what has just been described in this chapter here, then is the essential points of devotional service, what it's based on, and the platforms of the neophyte, the Madhyama and the Uttamadhikari, and how, you know, the relationship, the whole varnashram to the whole process, the deity worship in the process, how it all works very nicely. So that's why Prabhupada says this is says nectar of devotion, the complete science of bhakti yoga. So this is the complete science. All other books on the science of bhakti yoga are written in pursuance of the conclusions of nectar of devotion. You'll find the other acharyas, whatever they write, is on some aspect or section or even just a verse of nectar of devotion. So this is or books that have been written about nectar devotion, like Upadeshamrita, like here's the essence, and then there are books that are written on Upadeshamrita, like this. So they're all, means you'll find the complete science here, so nothing is left out. So if this is understood, then it becomes, the whole process becomes very easy. Any questions? Yes. He's saying that the purport of the Maha Mantra is that you're asking Radha and Krishna to engage us in their service. But if someone's already doing service, what is the need of praying in this way? Give an example. Radharani spends the night with Krishna, and in the morning the gopis ask, so what happened last night? And he says, you know, it's like nothing happened. By the time something started, the sun came up. So whatever I wanted to, however ways I wanted to please Krishna, serve Krishna, nothing happened. Right? So we're engaged in service, but the devotee is always wanting to be engaged in service more and more. He's a transcendental realm, things don't get less. They get more. So we're engaged in service, but then let's say we're washing Krishna's pots. So it's in service. But now, is that person situated in his eternal relationship in rasa with Krishna? He's doing service, and he's doing it for Krishna. So that is the foundation of the relationship. He's serving. But does he understand his relationship with Krishna? So when that's understood, naturally then the service is going to deepen, it's going to take on a different quality, a deeper quality. Right? You do one activity because it must be done, a certain taste is there. You do that activity because you know the person you're doing it for, you know, personally. It takes on another flavor. You don't do anything different. Right? And so that can just go deeper and deeper and more and more. Therefore, Srimati Radharani, she's always chanting this Hare Krishna Maha Mantra also. And so the devotees are always chanting. Because the name in the Lord is non-different. So the devotee is always associating with the Lord. So they'll always be chanting. That's the, we see, these are the, these five main things are the best of all the activities. So they're always chanting the holy name, always chanting the glories of Krishna, Bhagavatam, always associating with the pure devotees, always living in the Dhamma, and always worshipping the Lord. So that's always going on. And it's such a nice thing that Lord Chaitanya himself comes to taste what is that like. He wants to taste it himself. Means he's tasting the taste of receiving the service and reciprocating with the devotees in, you know, in pure love. But he wants to know what taste they are having. Because they actually, their happiness is even greater. Right? Krishna is receiving this, he's happy. But they're seeing that Krishna is happy, so they're happier. So he wants to know, what is that? You know, how are they tasting? So even he is coming and chanting. So if they're chanting, why we won't chant?
Right?
Love.
from last class, I don't know if I heard it. He said that the disciple and the spiritual master, we should be of the same nature. Otherwise, whatever this spiritual master says, the disciple accepts that. And the disciple is also not inspired, something like this.
Question was on the spiritual master, the nature of the spiritual master, the nature of the disciple, that they should be similar. And otherwise, the reciprocation won't be so deep. That is what we had mentioned. Is that what's your question on this? You could not follow it. See, it's basically the transcendental knowledge is already there. It's pure. It's perfect. But we are hearing it. We may not take it very seriously. So it has to be explained to us in a language we can understand. Right? And so we will find that different preachers are going to preach naturally according to their realization and their sphere of activities. So then we naturally then try to choose someone to associate with that has the same, I mean, that has is working in that kind of same sphere of activities or that same style of understanding or approaching, right? Has a similar nature. Because then, if natures are similar, then they get on very nicely. Like you have two people, they have similar nature, they're very good friends. They don't have similar nature, they may be nice acquaintances. But it may be very difficult for them to do things together. They don't know what to say, don't know how to, you know, don't know how to interact. They're both nice people, but they just don't necessarily match. So the spiritual master then, all advanced devotees are saying the transcendental knowledge, if they're bona fide and sincere. And all those students who are bona fide and sincere, they're also all good. You just need to find that what the person says you understand and you can apply it in your life. And if you can't understand it in the way they say it, then we appreciate and we always like to hear from them, but we may find that we may need someone else to also explain things for us. And then that other person, we may find that they're able to explain it more clearly that we understand. And then we take it. We're able to, you know, be serious. So many times devotees mistake this. It means this is what's supposed to be there. Sometimes you find devotees, they've heard from so many people, then they find one person they can really relate to. But they forget that they're an individual. And the person they're hearing from is an individual. And that their relationship is matching nicely. So then what they do is they go out and tell everybody else, you know, who you're hearing from is not the right person. You should hear from the person I'm hearing from. But that person is good for them. And someone else may be good for someone else. Right? So unless we're the center of all the activities, where what is good for us is good for the world, then we have to be careful. We're looking for who we can understand. You understand? Because the point is, as you mentioned, that lobha matra, that moment, there's also the understanding there's a mood that's there. There's a way, a method to do things. So depending upon the personality, they may be able to deal with a very broad, you know, like the empowered acharyas, like Srila Prabhupada, you could deal with so many, every kind of mentality. Right? So then one doesn't have to worry in that case, because one has found the person one relates to. But then someone else may not relate to that broad of a range of personalities. But those personalities they do relate to, that relationship is established, they're very happy. And the relationship is very good. then they're able to communicate properly. One doesn't waste time. One, what's said is understood. It's efficient. Right? Not that it's any less or more spiritual. Just we can relate to it. You understand? Just like you have a particular kind of plug. You know, you can try to plug it into so many plugs, but it doesn't work. But you plug it into the correct plug, and it works very nicely. Shri Panchatattva ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, Chaitanya Tagore. Okay, you understand now? You sure? Because the relationship is there that the spiritual master, by speaking, he learns. So when the disciple is enthusiastic, asks questions, practically applies it, the spiritual master learns from that experience. And the disciple is learning from being directed. So if there's no proper communication, neither party benefits. Right? So therefore, a spiritual master doesn't want to accept someone who can't be related to. Because they won't be able to benefit them, that person, and that person by their activities is not going to benefit the spiritual master. So it's not all around, it's not beneficial. Srila Rupa Goswami Pariki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Samaveta Bhaktivedanta Ki, Jainita Gauri.